Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Hey, football fans, it's Andrew Filippone, host of the First and Pod podcast. Join me and my co-host, three-time All-Pro Patrick Peterson, as we break down every game every week. New episodes drop on Monday and Friday mornings. Be sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's time to start the show and talk about the sports we saw. Inside jokes and takes from Danger and Battaglia. Bills and the Sabres and the Amherst. Who gave a microphone to these jerks? Gene's a big-timer, a social misfit. Clueless to the title of the biggest bus gang hits. Chuck Muncy's goons have the last say. So thanks for your time, Mr. Mayo. Danger likes his cool ones and he likes his bears. But this is Rochester, cute princessa.
Normal kiss.
He's critical of Sean, he's critical of Alan.
Of course he married Sandy, cause she's Italian.
Welcome to the sports bar, that's where you are. Welcome to the sports bar, that's where you are. Welcome to the sports bar, that's where you are. With Danger and Battaglia.
Hey, allow us to be the 17th or 18th person who has said to you and wished you a hearty Happy New Year as we welcome you back in to the Sports Bar. It's Danger and Battaglia. You found Rochester's only local sports talk show. We are back for the new year and ready to get after it. Hey, Gino.
Hello, Danger. I'm back. You're back. Everything's good.
We're so back. Yeah. Thanks for listening at 95.7 FM at AM 950. The stream is up. You can watch the Sports Bar on our YouTube channel at The Fan Rochester. We're streaming on Twitch at The Fan Rochester, sounding our best in the free-to-download Odyssey app and on your smart device. When you ask it to play 95.7 The Fan, so much to get caught up on. It's a Thursday that kind of feels like a Monday. We're still in that phase of the year where you're foggy and you don't, all the days blend together and you don't really know what day it is.
Some people are still off today.
Yeah.
Some people took the extra 2 days. So good for you if you are just kind of driving around. Hey, I'm off today. A lot of people working. And I didn't expect we'd have a playoff game to talk about
today.
College
football playoff game. Right. Exactly. An unfortunate situation that has led to us now having the Sugar Bowl being played this afternoon, starting at 4 o'clock, kickoff from the Caesars Superdome there in New Orleans, where, of course, there was the tragic event in the morning on New Year's Day, an event that actually claimed somebody from our own Odyssey family, which we found out earlier today, which is just shocking, and it puts a lot of things into perspective. But, you know, the heightened security and everything that's going into this afternoon's game, I'm sure everything that will go into the Super Bowl, mm-hmm. another big event coming up in New Orleans here over the course of the next couple of months. And I imagine that everything will go off without a hitch this afternoon between and Notre Dame. This will be, I think, our most distracted show dating back to when the Mets were in the postseason, I would imagine, because we're both going to be.
No, nothing is going to be as distracted as, oh, wait a second, Pete Alonso, what a danger. Oh, okay, you talk, okay, and go ahead, buddy. I'm watching the game. I'm careful with my words here. I want to say we're going to have a lot of fun, but we're also mindful that this game is on, not for reasons we want to kind of celebrate.
That's right. We have a great show lined up for you this afternoon. Alex Brasky, our Bills guy from the Batavia Daily News and Bills Digest, will be stopping by the sports bar here later this afternoon at 4:25.
I like Alex's take today. We should just abolish the Pro Bowl. Just be done with this. Like the announcement always puts people's minds on fire here.
Yep.
Oh my gosh, how could it only be Josh Allen and Deion Dawkins? Do you not watch the games? Do you have never heard of Christian Benford? What about James Cook not get?
This is exactly why it'll never go away. It'll never go away because it sparks this debate.
It also, I would point to the week in between. Just look at the ratings, and you and everybody else will tune in at some point to watch some glorified flag football game.
I want to see cornhole. I'm watching NFL players play dodgeball. That's what I'm in for. Alex will join us, and we'll talk about the multiple snubs, I guess you could say, from the Bills, if you want to view it that way. I think... I don't know. It feels like scorched earth if we talk about Pro Bowl snubs and MVP votes at this point, because nobody has a shortage of opinions when it comes to those two topics.
It's to the point where the MVP conversation, I just don't want it, which is bad being in this business here. I'm done talking about it. Just it gets people all riled up, and it's the point, Danger, where if I say something positive about Josh Allen, how do you interpret that something negative on Saquon Barkley or vice versa? I don't get it. Like, all these candidates are having great years, and it's just this is where we want the NFL to be. Just a lot of talent there.
Dan Fates of 13 Wham and Buffalo Plus will be stopping by later on this hour as well. The Bills back on the practice field today. We have the injury report, updated injury report for Thursday, yesterday just being a walkthrough, and some good news. While we don't expect to see a lot of the starters in New England on Sunday, nice to see at least Terrell Bernard trending in the right direction.
Yeah, I think Bernard, it would be a surprise for me to see him out there for any extended period of time against the Patriots. This is going to feel like a glorified preseason game, as it should. The Bills have wrapped everything up, and for New England, sounds like they might be kind of doing the same, taking a look at different personnel. We do know Drake May will get the start, so it's one of those rare games in the regular season where wins and losses, okay, let's get on to the real thing. So I want to talk about Dan. Let's jump ahead here, though. Denver, Miami, Cincinnati. Who's the best matchup? Who's the worst matchup? What's the most likely scenario? I'm going to tell you why I think it's going to be impossible you'll see Cincinnati and Buffalo. Because in order for that to happen, it's not. I could very easily see Denver losing to Kansas City, even with Carson Wentz, Danger. I cannot for the life of me see the New York Jets rising up in Week 18, a team where the bus is running, a team where you had DJ Reed last week in the locker room talking about free agency. Yeah. That normally doesn't happen with two games to go. I can't see the Jets rising up to beat the Dolphins.
Can I interest you in Tyler Huntley starting at quarterback for the Dolphins to potentially make it a little bit sweeter? I don't know. I mean, if you're talking about the Dolphins, if you're talking about the Bengals, like I tend to believe that the Bengals aren't going to beat Pittsburgh on Saturday. That Pittsburgh's lost three in a row and probably aren't going to lose four in a row going into the postseason.
It's interesting how some teams have the we're going to play no matter what. Detroit is that. But what if Baltimore's the first one up Saturday, right? So if Baltimore beats the Browns, that's it. They win the division. So if you're Pittsburgh, do you take that in consideration? I'm thinking not. I'm thinking Mike Tomlin is more the lines of Dan Campbell, like, hey, we're not playing well, let's go get it.
That's right. I mean, if you've lost three in a row and you're saying, oh, hey, congratulations, guys, you get to take the day off because we've lost three. No, that's not. That doesn't seem very Tomlin-esque. So I think that might actually come to fruition before we even get to Saturday, or Sunday, rather. In the late afternoon on Sunday is when we'll get to see if Denver can actually beat the backups there in Kansas City and clinch their ticket to the postseason and a visit to Buffalo coming up next weekend. So Dan Fates, 13 Wham and Buffalo Plus. We'll break down playoff scenarios. We'll talk Bills coming up later on this hour. You can join us anytime this afternoon. The Good Smoke Barbecue and Pub Wingman line is open. 866-4FAN, 585-866-4326. Award-winning barbecue from Good Smoke Barbecue and Pub, 135 West Commercial Street in East Rochester, goodsmokebbq.com. And Gino, I know that we were off, but I didn't stop working. I had to compile my thoughts. I had to get everything in order. And we've begun an annual tradition. We started this last year, the end of the year last year for 2023. It's the annual Francesas. Now, if you're new to the show and you don't know what I'm talking about, let me explain what the Francesas are.
Oh, who cares?
The Francesas are a testament to some of the biggest moments that have happened in the past 12 months that a lot of us have totally wiped clean from our mental databases.
Oh, who cares?
Hence, they become a Francesa.
Oh, who cares?
Things that were big on the day where we were talking about it, but now...
Now it's like, oh, okay.
We moved on.
Yeah, right. And it all stems from Mike Francesa and, you know, being on the air and having a caller tell him about Stan Lee, and he had no idea. He had no idea what the caller was talking about.
Eddie in Hoboken. What's up, Eddie?
Hey, what's up, Mike?
What's happening?
Hey, Mike, Stan Lee died today. Did you ever meet the guy? What do you think of him?
Stan Lee.
Yeah, Stan Lee.
I don't know who he is. Don't know who he is, no.
Jesus.
Who is he? Who is he? Who is Stan Lee?
He was one of the creators of Marvel Comics.
Oh, who cares? I mean, I'm sorry. I'm not a comic book guy. Is that who he is, Stan Lee?
The guy created Spider-Man. That was his big thing.
Created Spider-Man? Sorry. I never was a comic book reader as a kid. I apologize. Never.
Love it so much.
Oh, who cares?
A man died.
Yeah.
Oh, who cares?
Eddie and Hoboken's reaction, I think, is my favorite. Jesus.
Oh, who cares?
This is a long and lengthy list. I'm going to need a little bit of room in the 4 o'clock hour.
Also, too, like, I wish you a long and happy life, Mike Danger. But, like, somebody, hey, Mike Danger died today.
Oh, who cares?
Yeah. What are your thoughts? Mike, do you have any thoughts on Stan Lee passing away?
Oh, who cares?
Unbelievable. So we will recap the year that was, the 2024 Francesas. We'll recap some of those moments, massive moments in our world that we have almost completely wiped clean from our mental databases. There's just too much going on constantly, all the time. And it's all eating up real estate in your brain. We'll jar your memory a little bit with the 2024 Francesas coming up.
I look forward to that. It's one of our benchmark kind of segments every year. What way to kind of kick off the new year? We got time for your calls, too. 866-4FAN, 866-4326.
You got it. All right. So we'll talk to Fatesy. We'll talk to Brasky. Some of what we need to get caught up on here. And I know that this is old news at this point. I mean, the Bills handling the Jets last weekend in just a fashion that you know, makes you wonder, you know, everything we knew about the Jets or thought about the Jets was confirmed. That's a team that is a lost ship at sea, and you could say the same thing about the Patriots here coming up. We don't really know what their future is going to look like here, especially if Buffalo goes in there with their second stringers and third stringers and wins that game. You know, you have to certainly put into question whether or not Jerod Mayo is going to be the guy in the future. And I don't know, man, I'm wondering about Miami as well. Like, if Miami misses the postseason again, are you looking at a division here where the Bills really are doing to the rest of the division what the Patriots did throughout their dynasty and just holding everybody down? It's not even close.
Well, let's start with the Jets, because you and I were off Monday. And we've been saying this all along, but it is so clear now. Like, the Patriots are still, there's a big gap, but they are the closest in the division to the Buffalo Bills. Like, for the Jets, and you have these unconfirmed reports that they're going to move on from Aaron Rodgers. Like, honestly, who cares? Bring Rodgers back. What, in the end, he's going to be 41. Like, on the field, what does that even matter? What is your plan for the year 2026 and beyond? They don't have one. And this isn't a quarterback-rich class that you're picking from in the draft. So what is the Jets' plan? Oh, go sign Sam Darnold? I don't think so. Yeah. What, legitimately, go trade for somebody? Go hope that... So, they don't have a plan. Like, everybody on that team, and it doesn't line up, too, because they have all this young talent. They have Sauce Gardner. They have Garrett Wilson. They have guys that make plays that, oh, their rookie contracts are expiring. Danger, I would take, not the tank kind of mode, but everybody who doesn't want to be here, just like how Brandon Bean did once upon a time. Yeah. You can get something good for Garrett Wilson. You can get something good for Sauce Gardner. You need to rebuild. But something tells me that Woody Johnson, that owner, is not going to allow for that to happen.
Completely clueless. I'm glad you brought up Sam Darnold, by the way. That's another storyline that just continues to get louder and louder here. I mean, the guy's going to be a free agent at the end of the season. You can't let him go. If you're Minnesota, you're paying that guy. You got to pay that guy. That's your franchise quarterback. You mean to tell me you think J.J. McCarthy is going to come in next season and get you 14 wins? Come on. You have to keep that guy under your control.
Okay. Would you take that back if, okay, and say they lose the Detroit in the shootout, okay, or whatever it is. They're going to be the 5 seed. And as the 5 seed, they would play Atlanta, right? Or Tampa Bay, whoever it would be. What if Sam Darnold turns back into Jets Sam Darnold in the postseason?
I just don't see it. I just don't see it. And I know that a lot of people will say, well, Kevin O'Connell, he'll be the coach of the year, and with the job that he's done, he deserves it, and look what he did with Sam Darnold, and you can, you know, that guy can get production out of anybody behind center. And I would say this feels different. The way that locker room responded to Darnold after they won last week, you know, drenching him and everything that went into that. Like, all right, he's their franchise quarterback. You can let McCarthy sit a couple of years behind, you know, just like we say that, that teams like the Patriots or the Dolphins or the Jets should follow the Bills' template for success, I think you could follow Green Bay's template for success in terms of how they've dealt with quarterback over the course of our generation, right? It's okay to have a guy sit for a couple of years and learn behind a veteran who's winning a lot of football games and doing things the right way.
Or you could be sitting there and like, we don't have to trade them. Hey, it's the Jets. We've got the number 6 overall pick. Would you? Yep. I mean, you're in a good spot. You don't have to move them at all. But if somebody came a knocking in a draft class that isn't rich in quarterbacks.
I tell you what, though, Gino, if the Jets, I really, the Jets and the Giants, like I really look at what they have and I look at what's coming and I struggle to see a path forward. Short of what we were just saying, something that looks like a rebuild, something that looks like we are going to get rid of some of our biggest names because we're admitting they don't want to be here. We don't want them here. We'd rather get something in return and rebuild this the right way. And that's a process that you have to be patient with. And it didn't happen in Buffalo. I mean, they made the playoffs his first year, right? On a gift, on a miracle. But you still had guys that were in that locker room that didn't fit the culture, right? You got to get the culture right. And this year,
Sammy Watkins, Ron Daubry, Marcel Darius.
All gone. Right. So that would be interesting to see if the Jets, did that kind of drastic overhaul. If the Giants went through that kind of drastic overhaul where the guys that don't want to be a part of it are no longer a part of it. But I just thought after watching that game, I mean, for Aaron Rodgers to basically tell the coach, oh, you're going to go with Tyrod here, right? It's 33-0. I mean, I'm like, that is priceless. It is adorable. It's absolutely a franchise that is rudderless at sea right now. And, take a moment to kind of look at where the Bills are versus where they were. And for everybody that lived through the drought, most of you did, you remember how that felt. You remember how that went. We are right now in the golden age, another golden age of Buffalo Bills football, courtesy of Bean McDermott, Josh Allen. They've done a great job, obviously, in turning things around. And now we've seen a team that just has taken complete control over this division to the point where I have a hard time seeing any of the other three teams in the division in the next 2 to 3 years being even remotely competitive without a massive overhaul.
It's an opportunity for any GM to kind of come in from the ground up. So in that sense, it would be attractive. But here's how it wouldn't be attractive. Number one, Woody Johnson. Number two, who is the Miami owner there? Yeah. Like, he's not. Please. Like, they lost a draft pick for tampering. And do we really think that Robert Kraft, like, that's also part of it, too, what's upstairs?
Yeah, but dysfunction starts at the top. And it turns out Belichick and Brady were one hell of a deodorant for the Kraft family there in New England because this year doesn't look that much better than last year. In fact, you could argue that last year was still a little bit better than what you had this year in New England. So that's the matchup coming up on Sunday. The Bills, Josh will get the start to keep that streak alive, but we don't expect to see many of the Bills starters, and you heard One Bills Live talking about it a lot this afternoon. It becomes almost like a team building thing where you see the guys that are normally starting supporting the guys that have been backing them up all season long, and you'll get to see the legend of a guy like Joe Andreessen grow a little bit more after playing here coming up on Sunday.
Super important, haven't been able to get live snaps. You get them in practice, but the game snaps are always different. So anytime you get live snaps, even last week we were in there at the end of the game, and there's been a couple of times throughout the season, you get the fourth quarter snaps. So those are huge, and hopefully now it's a little bit more, and you put a whole game together, hopefully.
All right, where do you come down on Buffalo, Joe? And here's where I'm at, Danger. I scoffed at this. I thought, because we're out of the blast zone, right? I PR stunt. Why are we even wasting a spot on the 90-man roster? I think I said. And hey, he showed you something in the preseason. And hey, I think on special teams. But as far as your backup middle linebacker, that's what I'm paying attention to here. Because this could go really well, or it can go really not so well. So that's why, if you look at it through the lens of this being a preseason game, we're evaluating talent, that's the guy we're watching here. Is this really an NFL player?
I think that'll be a lot of fun to watch. If you're going to watch for anything, watch for Buffalo Joe and see if he shows up the way he did in the preseason against the Steelers. He took over that game defensively for the Bills against the Steelers in the preseason. He led the team in tackles and became a household name for Bills fans. My fear is his size, but that's something that can improve as he continues to develop in the NFL. And look, we could say, oh, it's a, you know, Cam Lewis version 2.0. It's a local guy, went to UB, Cam Lewis being a UB guy. Cam Lewis has had himself a nice season, and he's made a nice little career for himself playing for the Buffalo Bills. He's never going to be a star, and Andreessen may never be a star, but he can certainly be a contributor. And I think that's the ceiling for Andreessen, is that, you know, he could be that kind of a player for the Bills in time. I think he still has to put on some pounds and a little bit of weight, because if the Bills have shown anything defensively, when they get against a team with size and physicality, they get thrown around a little bit.
That's why what you saw against the Jets, and I saw, hey, the Bills' defense is bad. Sure, the Jets are, I suppose, an NFL team, but when A.J. Epenesa goes in unblocked,
crazy.
It's like, wait a second. How can you miss that assignment on your own goal line?
Yeah.
I'm not putting too much stock into that. I'm sorry.
Well, we have plenty to check out this weekend in the NFL as far as playoff seeding is concerned, and who the Bills will end up hosting come next weekend. We've also got the college football playoff, which is, of course, well underway now, and a game coming up here in about 40 minutes or so between Notre Dame and Georgia in New Orleans at the Superdome, still scheduled to go off. I heard a lot of chirping during the college football playoff about these games not being competitive, about them being one-sided. Everybody who is upset at the college football playoff is going to be very upset when they expand it to 16 teams eventually and we have more of these games, because that's where it's going to go. I don't care how lopsided these games have been. I think it's been a wild success, and more you're going to get more of them. Don't be surprised if you see JR doing, doing the backstroke in a bowl of Cheez-Its in a college football playoff game that actually matters.
So this was on New Year's Eve, and I watched more college football bowl games, Danger. I was just enjoying it. Didn't matter who was on. And this was the Cheez-It Bowl, right? This was South Carolina against Illinois, and it had some chippiness. It was a lot of fun. And they just kind of did a paid programming, you know, product placement sort of thing for Cheez-Its, right? And we're going to go downstairs to our Cheez-Its reporter, J.R. Jackson. I don't ever heard of J.R. Jackson. And they go down, and sitting in a tub of Cheez-Its was J.R. Sport Brief. His real name, J.R. Jackson. I'm like, I texted Danger right away. I'm like, are you watching this? But you weren't watching it. You were watching it on delay.
I was delayed. I didn't realize that my daughter had recorded it by accident, and I thought I was watching it live. And then I looked at the clock, and again, we're in a haze this time of year. I don't even know what time of day it is.
Today is Thursday.
Yeah, it feels like a Monday, but it's a Thursday. And so at the time that you texted me, I'm like, oh, wait, did I miss that? What happened? And then, no, it turned out I was just like an hour and a half behind on watching that game. But sure enough, there's JR. And I guess my point is that the Cheez-It Bowl in the future could very well be a college football playoff game. Don't be surprised if they take what they've got this year, make some adjustments. You could say that the way it was seeded was maybe, you know, worthy of some improvements. But I think it's great. I love it, and I think we're going to get more of it, and I think if there's money to be made, they will make it. And I know that last night the Rose Bowl was lopsided. I know that the Fiesta Bowl was largely upsided. I mean, for the most part, it was Penn State kind of imposing their will on Boise State. Hopefully we get a good matchup here between Notre Dame and George, but man, that Texas-Arizona State game was wild. I mean, I'm not having any more kids, but if I do have grandkids, I'm going to push hard for Scatabo being the middle name of a child, because that kid, every fan of an NFL team should want that guy on their roster. Just grit, all heart, and all, you know, just coming up short in the end there, Texas advancing for a date with Ohio State, which is going to be a lot of fun next week.
I even watched Toledo Pitt. Six overtimes, Danger. Don't laugh. The Toledo stormed the field twice. They hadn't won the game yet. Third time they won it.
Let's get to Dan Fates, 13 Wham, Buffalo Plus. We will talk some more Buffalo Bills next with Fatesy on the Fan.
The Fan Rochester Sports. update.
Josh Allen, Deion Dawkins, the only two Buffalo Bills to be named to the Pro Bowl. There is one more game to go. It's in New England this coming Sunday. Sean McDermott on the opponent.
Well, number one, we want to win the game. That's goal number one. Two is making sure we're as fresh as possible coming out of this week and healthy as possible. And, you know, other than that, I think it's, hey, trying to win the game, stay with our process, being consistent with how we approach each and every week.
Bills injury report. Everyone was out there in some sort of capacity today. Dan Fates, 13 Wham and Buffalo Plus joining us next year in the sports bar. 4 p.m. today, the college football playoff game. Number 7, Notre Dame against number 2, Georgia. That is the Sugar Bowl. Sabres in Colorado tonight. First game of 2025. Our coverage will begin at 9 p.m. Gene Battaglia, the sports leader, 95.7 FM and AM 950. The Fan Rochester.
The beer is cold and the wings are hot. You're in the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia on the sports leader, 95.7 FM and AM 950, The Fan, Rochester.
Talk some Buffalo Bills with our buddy Dan Fates, 13 Wham Sports. Buffalo Plus, Dan, I don't know if you're like me, but I imagine you are because you're in it. Girl Dad times 3. And the holidays. I don't know what day it is. It's a Thursday, no. But it feels like a Monday. We've got college football on in the middle of the afternoon. Happy holidays, buddy. Happy New Year.
Right back at you. Yeah, now that I have a litter of kids at home, it is very hard to keep track of days. There was football on a Wednesday, and now it's college football. I'm all over the place. I'm just trying to show up at the right place at the right time.
There was one tweet. I'm like, oh, no. Seems like kind of a rookie mistake there by Dan. Was it Christmas Eve assembling something,
no.
Dan? No? Oh, no?
No. That's where else? What else was I going to assemble it, Gene? My kids run through the entire house. We can't hide anything. It was a four-wheeler the size of a golf cart, and I have built – small vehicles for my daughter, the four-year-old, that you know, she had a mini car, all these things. I took it out of the box and put wheels on it. I was installing chassis. I was plugging in electrical things. Sparks were flying everywhere. There was a chance where I was, you know, my wife wants to take a video and thinks it's funny. I go, there's a chance Daddy's canceling Christmas if Santa doesn't figure out or get an auto body shop to figure how to build this four-wheeler.
Well, you're a good man for doing it, Dan, and we've all been there. And now with that behind us, we get to look ahead to Week 18 in the NFL, which is less exciting than actually looking beyond that to what next weekend could possibly look like. But before we do, your thoughts on Josh Allen going out there to get the start, on what we might see here against the Patriots, and what kind of a fight the Patriots, if any, give the Bills here coming up on Sunday?
Well, I think it's a cool move by Sean McDermott to keep the streak going. It's something that Sean has said means a lot to Josh. Josh talked about it yesterday as well, saying it means a lot to him. So it is kind of that, I don't know, what do you want to call it, player's coach kind of move to give the guy what he wants and while also being smart. He's still 200-some-odd starts behind Brett Favre. He joked around about you can't birdie them all if you don't birdie the first few. So I think that was a cool move. It shows the connection, the relationship that they have, because this really is the epitome of a meaningless game. But you also know that Sean likes routine. That way Josh will still go through warm-ups. He'll do all of that stuff. So, because this is – obviously there's only one bye, we know, but it is kind of nice to know that the Bills, for all, you know, real meaning, they have a bye this week as well.
Who do you want to see get elevated from the practice squad this week? I was a little surprised that Micah Hyde wasn't an option, that McDermott right off the bat ruled that out.
Yeah, I thought that when he came back, you know, you get him a couple elevations, he kind of works himself back in. I don't know if Micah plays at all this season, because I think it's, you know, we're going on a year of him not playing. So I'm not really sure what to expect. A couple guys I'd like to see. I want to see what Mike White has. I know Trubisky is going to get a majority of the snaps, they say. I kind of know what Mitch Trubisky is, and I understand that, God forbid, something were to happen to Josh in this postseason, obviously Mitch would be the guy, but I am kind of interested to see what Mike White could do in this style of offense. I'd like to see what he can do. And when you're asking who would I specifically want to see get in on the practice squad, how about all of them? Unfortunately, there's just not enough players. Some of the offensive linemen are still going to have to play, whether that's Osiris Torrens or some of the other guys. there's just not enough bodies. It's not like a base. It's even like a baseball game. You know, you don't have enough pitchers to just throw out the nobodies. Some guys are going to have to play between special teams and especially at defensive end.
Kind of excited to see what Buffalo Joe looks like out there, Joe Andreessen. Yeah. And, you know, what we saw in the preseason was certainly encouraging. The game against Pittsburgh where he kind of took over defensively, and you allow Bernard to get a little bit healthier. You allow Milano to get a little bit healthier. What's your expectation of the Bills' defense here against Drake May?
That's a good question because I'm with you. I'm excited to see what Buffalo Joe has. The legend of him will return. I thought he was really good in the Pittsburgh game. He led the team in tackles last week, though he only came in the fourth quarter of the Jets' blowout. But there is a stark difference between backups, practice squad players, and even the starters on a really bad football team. I think that's one thing I've noticed as a guy that had bet the under in the Colts game, and they pulled all the starters. Touchdown passes are getting thrown against Codrington. And I was kind of laughing in the Jets game where I was like, cool, they threw a touchdown pass against the Bills punt returner. Like, good job, guys. Like there is a stark difference. For everybody that says, look, everybody in the NFL is incredible. Anybody that has ever sniffed an NFL locker room or has been around an NFL practice, they are incredible athletes. Not trying to diminish that. There is a drop-off, though, between backups and starters, even on really bad teams. So I still think the Patriots, if Drake May plays, and you know, supposedly he looked okay this last 2 days, I think the Patriots will be able to move the ball because I don't think there'll be a whole lot of starters out there for the Bills.
Dan Fates, 13 Wham and Buffalo Plus, joining us here in the Sports Bar. So by the time we talk to you next week, Dan, we'll know who the playoff opponent would be, and it's going to be one of three teams, Denver, Miami, Cincinnati. Who would you like to see, and does that answer from is it a different answer from who you would expect to come to Buffalo next week?
I'd love to see the Dolphins. I think that there's one team that Josh Allen and the Bills have owned, and you get them in outside in a somewhat chilly day, and that is coming from a guy who I've said it time and time again, I still like the Dolphins. I think they have just had a snake bitten season. Like, there are times I heard that, you know, is McDaniel on the hot seat. They've had a season from hell. They have just had injury after injury. If Tua didn't get out for four games, which, again, is his fault to some respects of getting his concussions and the way that he's played the game, they're probably a playoff team, no doubt. They had Jordan Phillips go out, Holland go out, Bradley Chubb go out. Like, they have just had a rough season where everything's kind of gone wrong. So with that being said, I still would like to play the Dolphins again. We know the history, all of those things. I also would rather take the rookie quarterback in Denver. So if I had to pick, I'd say Miami, then Denver, and then the Bengals. And I guess I'm talking myself into, if the Bengals do get in, because we know weird things happen around the NFL this time of the year, the Bengals' defense is really bad. And that's part of the reason why Joe Burrow has had to put up the numbers that he's had to put up, is because of how much of a sieve they are. So I guess I never want to get in a shootout with Joe Burrow. I just also think that there's a chance that, you know, the Bengals could give up 50 points to the Bills. So I feel pretty confident no matter who the Bills face. It's funny. I think Denver has a pretty good defense, obviously led by Patrick Surtain, who's an elite corner in the game. But guys, I look at that and I go, cool, who does he take out? Like, who do you put him on and go, oh no, now we can't throw it to that guy because Mac Hollins leads the Bills in receiving touchdowns. So does he line up against Mac? Does he line up against Khalil? There's so many guys that where it's like a number one corner doesn't necessarily scare me for a defense because the Bills don't really have a number one wide receiver, and it's been really good without it.
Dan, since you brought up Burrow and since you brought up some stats, I don't know, take a walk with me on this scorched earth that is the conversation around MVP and today the Pro Bowl and James Cook getting snubbed. Look, the Cook snub, I think there's probably a case to be made that maybe he deserves it a little bit more than a guy like Mixon. But again, Mixon kind of emerging from the depths of Cincinnati to take that lead role and really run with it there in Houston. It's Josh's MVP award, right? Regardless of what happens this weekend, are you hearing anything differently? Do you have any other thoughts?
No, my thoughts have been the same pretty much since the San Francisco game. It's funny. It's the flavor of the week, we've talked about it on the Buffalo Plus podcast, where Jenna says that everybody has the attention of a gnat these days, and it's like, ooh, who's the new shiny object? You know, it's obviously Lamar gets primetime games against a Houston team that is absolutely quit. He throws for 160 yards on 10 completions, and everybody goes, what an MVP performance. I said that Houston game. If that game was played at Sunday at 1 o'clock, nobody cares. Nobody watched. It's a boring game, and nobody says that, wow, what an MVP performance. So this is how this works. Numbers are really annoying, I think, in this case, because Josh had better numbers last year than Lamar, but Lamar had the better record, and that's how this works. So I think it's Josh's MVP. I think that the narrative does matter, and I'm not talking about Josh not having an MVP. That's not the narrative I'm talking about. I'm talking about the narrative that the Bills were going to stink this year, that everybody said they'd finish last, that they'd miss the playoffs, and that the only way they would be good is if Josh goes nuclear. Well, Josh has gone nuclear. And when everybody talks about negative plays and, oh, you know, Josh is turnover prone and he takes too many sacks and all these things, he has the least amount of negative plays in the NFL when he's been pressured at an extremely high rate. He hasn't taken sacks. He hasn't turned the ball over. He has fewer negative plays than Lamar Jackson. Nobody wants to put that up on a graphic on the national media in their talk shows because it's not as sexy, but that's the case. And when Josh said that, you know, he has nobody, he doesn't. And he's turned everybody into pretty good football players. And that's the narrative that I look at and go, take Josh Allen off the Bills. What do you got? I think you have a 7-8 win team. Right now they've got 13, have a chance for 14.
Dan, let's play a little game here. So by the time we talk next week, we'd assume there'd be a lot of moves. They call it Black Monday, the firing of the NFL. You tell me if these head coaches are back. Ready? You said you would like Mike McDaniel. You think he's done a good job. But yeah. Is he indeed back in Miami?
Yes, he's back in Miami. Again, I think they've just had a snake bit season. Tua may not be worth all the money that he's being paid, but he's worth that in Miami. And that shows because of those four games, they were horrendous without him.
Jerod Mayo.
Oh, we've talked a bunch to Mike Giardi of the Boston Sports Journal. We had him on again this week. He shouldn't be, but I think he is. I'll say that because Kraft has too much pride and the arrogance of this was my hand-picked guy for 5 years, and what would it look like to fire him after 1 year? I think he's back. I think that's a mistake, but I think he's back.
Kevin Stefanski.
Oh, good one. Yes, I think Kevin Stefanski's back. I think that when he has anywhere of a competent quarterback, he's shown how good he can be. I'll say he's back.
Doug Peterson.
Oh, man, no. And I think Doug's fine with not being back. I think Doug's ready to just put on a visor and go play golf. But I think that there's too much talent on that roster to be this mediocre. It seems like a couple of times that team has quit on him. So I say they make a change there at head coach.
Brian Callahan. If they lose, they're 3-14, Dan.
But they're a frisky team, right? Like, they have been in a lot of games. They just don't know what they're doing at quarterback. But I think that team's playing hard for him. That's a lot of how I judge a head coach being fired, whether or not. Is those Titans, for a lot of games, they play hard. I think that young coach should give him a little bit more than a year.
How about Kyle Shanahan? Does he get another run in San Francisco?
I don't think so. I think that that's a team. Again, another team that's had a lot of bad luck this year. Injuries, but I think this goes back to the vibe around that team and the feeling in that locker room from everything that I followed along. They seem like a team that needs to hit the restart button, and I think that, you know, he finds a new place and everybody gets all excited for his daddy's offense again. But I think his time has kind of expired in San Fran.
Dan, I had a Jets writer ask me this question because Joe Brady's getting, you know, some run. He probably will get some interviews. If Brady left, would the Bills bring back Brian Daboll? I'm like, no way would that ever happen. But I just got to ask you, Brian Daboll's not coming back to the Giants, or is he?
I don't know, Jim. What about if Josh has any say? What about if Josh, who has the utmost respect for Brian Daboll, and as I've always said, I respect him more than certain members of my family, and my love and affection for Brian Daboll goes deep. I think the most about Brian Daboll through this experience is whatever friction there was between Sean and Dable towards the end. I think Dable now has an understanding of what it's like to be a head coach when things are going south. And to understand, I get it. You may want to do one thing and I want to do another, but ultimately, Sean was probably like, it's my team, okay? And you kind of follow my lead. And I think that Dable got a little bit of taste of how difficult it can be to be a head coach. And I think that's been a humbling experience for him. So I would love him back, but I'm sure Josh would. I don't know that relationship and where it is with Sean McDermott. I'll say that.
I was going to say you could probably see him as an offensive coordinator in New England. He can go back there.
Yeah, that would be more. Yeah, that would be scary.
If New England wanted to do Vrabel and even Josh McDaniel, like what if they ran that back with Drake May or Dable with Drake May?
Yeah,
you know, like that makes sense. Again, it's just going to be the fans want Mayo out. They were chanting that after they got blown out by the Chargers that Saturday game. It's just a matter of if Kraft can admit after 1 year, I made a big mistake and we'll move on. It's a bad look for an organization and for an owner to handpick your guy 7 years ago on a retreat and go, he's my guy in waiting, and he gets a chance and he totally fumbles the bag. So it's a matter of, will you admit you're wrong when you're wrong?
Two more for you. The Eagles, I'm assuming Sirianni would be back if you go 13-4, yeah, let's say. But why is there so much smoke around this team, Dan?
That is a good question. That has the vibes. I mean, it's better. Winning cures all. Philly's a tough market to be in. I think that, unfortunately, Sirianni gets in the mud a little bit too much, whether it's the him arguing with guys on the sidelines and things like that. That team still seems to fight, and especially coming off of what last year was and the disaster it was, the Super Bowl hangover, whatever you want to call it, the letdown at the end of the season. I think he's done enough. His winning percentage, his wins overall, I think he stays, but there will always be a hot seat underneath him.
And then if the Cowboys lose at home to the Commanders this week, and it wasn't that long ago, the Cowboys had the longest home winning streak, they'll have a home record of 2-7 this year. Does that cost Mike McCarthy his job?
Well, McCarthy is a free agent, correct? Like, his contract's up. So it's just a matter of if they want to bring him back or if McCarthy wants to go somewhere, I don't know, the Bears or somewhere like that. I don't know. Like, it's a matter of Jerry has – he used to be a guy that fires his coaches, you know, at a blink of an eye if they look at him the wrong way. But he's been pretty loyal. Think about how long he kept around Jason Garrett when that ship kind of sailed. You lose Dak. It's always weird to judge a head coach when you lose your quarterback for the season. But they were bad before that. The defense has been a disaster. That one's a true coin flip because I can see it going either way.
Dan, speaking of free agents, not talking about a coach, talking about a guy that will be a free agent quarterback at the end of the season. It's a guy that I think a lot of people left for dead but had his career resurrected. Mm-hmm. We've been saying it all year. I mean, Sam Darnold looks like the real deal. And if I'm Minnesota, my opinion is you do everything you can to lock him up and not let him hit free agency or at least work out a deal where you make it real tough for him to say no to coming back to Minnesota. What's your take on what Darnold should do here this offseason?
Yeah, the Vikings can't let Sam Darnold go for whatever it is, whether it's a franchise tag, whatever it takes. You saw that locker room reaction of him coming in after the Packers game. He has resurrected his career. Kevin O'Connell deserves to be coach of the year. That was another team that was supposed to be a 6-7 win team that is, you know, has a chance for the one seed. You just can't move on from Sam Darnold, what he's done. He has shown why he was a fourth overall pick. Like, he's still not that old. Like, I'm not saying you give him $60 million a year. I think it's pretty nice to be able to throw to Justin Jefferson and things like that. But he has shown that he can lead a team, can make throws. He's not solely dependent on a running game. He's been a really, really great story. And I just don't see how you can move on from that for what he has done this year.
Dan, last one for me, and I know you probably don't know the answer to this, but we're all going to be paying attention Sunday night. Okay, where are they going to put the Bills against I mean, do you guys get any insider requests or anything like that? I mean, because I would think that, or you just, there's no advanced kind of tip that where the Bills are going to land, right?
No advanced tip. We talked to some people, and one person came up to me on the sideline and goes, "Hey, you know, the Bills could play, you know, the Bills could be playing on Monday night, or they could get the Monday game." It's like, yeah, they could get the Saturday game. They could get, like, what? It all depends on the matchup. You know, I don't think Bills-Broncos is a sexy matchup. You give me Bills-Bengals, that's a sexy matchup. You know, like, the NFL wants, you know, it's who are the Eagles going to play? You know, could it be whatever? So I think when the dust settles and we kind of get to see the layout, you'll have an idea. If there's anything we do know, it's that Josh Allen can turn a Patriots game into a national TV game. So the NFL loves Josh. Could it be Steelers-Ravens? That's going to be a marquee game. You know, how this all shakes out, it will be interesting. But we have no advanced knowledge, no.
Dan, what are you and Mike and Jenna working on at Buffalo Plus we could check out on the channel here in the coming days and weeks?
Yeah, Jenna's getting a little time, some rest and recovery. She's actually in the Cape Cod area now, seeing some family, because I don't know if you know this, I had a litter of kids, so she was really helpful there. So Mike and I are holding down the fort. We all caught up before Jenna left with Mike Giardi of the Boston Sports Journal, all-time guest. And again, usually we preview the game, right? And last 2 weeks ago, we had Giardi come on and just for 30 minutes bash the Patriots. So it's not that long, so we kind of shifted on. He covered the NFL for a long time, NFL Network, knows the AFC East, knows the landscape, talked MVP, talked what he has seen, the changes he has seen in Sean McDermott this year, that the matchup that they could possibly be, their Super Bowl chances, all kind of around the NFL. Was he's an all-time guest. It's one of the best pods that we do. Our best guest is with Giardi.
Dan, keep up the great work, and let's talk again next week.
Sounds good, guys.
Thanks, Dan. Dan Fates, 13 Web Sports, Buffalo Plus, joining us here in the sports bar to break down not just the Bills and this weekend's matchup, look ahead to the postseason and the offseason here. I mean, you're right. By this time next week, there are going to be plenty of openings in the NFL for us to be discussing.
Yeah, we're going to talk to Lee Steinberg, agent, because he's been on the other end of that. I'm just curious, like, when a coach knows, do players kind of grease the skids there a little bit too? I mean, there's a lot of things kind of moving there. About that playoff schedule, and you may not know this, the triple header this year, it's not on Sunday. It's on Saturday. Mm. So it goes 1 o'clock, 4:30, 8 o'clock on Saturday, and then Sunday, there's no 1 o'clock game on your birthday, buddy. Mm. See, I remember that. 4:30, and then 8:15, and then you get the Monday night game. What Dan said, though, the Monday night game, because everybody wants their destination, that is always kind of reserved for a 4-5 matchup, because the 4-5, you're already predetermined the winner of this would go, you know, to number one.
Right, got it. Okay, so we'll await that word here coming up later on this weekend. Of course, lots of NFL action to get to between now and then. We've got college football quarterfinal still to be played here this afternoon. We're going to keep tabs on Notre Dame and Georgia from the Sugar Bowl and in the Caesar Superdome in New Orleans. We have time for your calls at 866-4FAN. Alex Brasky will talk some more Buffalo Bills in the 4 o'clock hour as well. And before we get to break, Gino, who's hot and who's cold in fantasy football?
Well, fantasy football... And again, I want to know the league that's still playing here. Do we know any leagues that are still
playing? I don't know that there. I mean, we should raise a glass to fantasy football champions far and wide.
Yeah.
A lot of championships were won. I know as commissioner of one league, I was dishing out some payments. Unfortunately, I wasn't one of the payments being received. I wasn't paying myself.
Mm-hmm.
Our old operations manager, Buffalo Bob, finally got over in our league and has himself a championship. He's been in the league. He's one of the original guys in the league. Never got over. Finally got his first.
Well, I am going to give an MVP. I'm going to do it a little different this week. Like, who's hot, who's cold. Most valuable and most disappointing. And see if you agree with me on this. The most valuable, and again, it's different in fantasy, right? The fantasy points between a Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson, not so great. The fantasy points between the top running back and somebody mid, you got to give it to Saquon Barkley. Barkley, the first running back to go for over 2,000 since Derrick Henry. 15 touchdowns, would have been more. And he played in Week 18, but again, that doesn't matter in the fantasy terms. Most disappointing player, I would say a wide receiver that even though he was entering the year as a 1B, was drafted as a number one in fantasy and was cut by many teams. 54 catches, 2 touchdowns for Jalen Waddle. Mm. It was just a zero this year.
It's never too early here to look ahead to 2025. Do you want to take a stab at Michael F. Florio's top five in his 2025 fantasy mock draft?
Well, is it... Because there was a graphic he put up, and it was... did he have Christian McCaffrey as...
No.
No, okay, that was entering. No, I don't know.
Okay, all right. So, we'll go 5-1.
Okay.
Number 5, Saquon. 4, CeeDee Lamb. 3, Bijan Robinson. Like Bijan with Penix starting at quarterback. Justin Jefferson, 2. Number 1.1, Ja'Marr Chase. I mean, Ja'Marr Chase
as a wide receiver, though.
He just couldn't miss this year, man. If you had Chase on your team, you won a lot of weeks because of his performance.
But then again, T. Higgins, 3 touchdowns. If Higgins bolts, takes money from the Patriots or whoever.
What does that mean, right?
Yeah, Michael F. Florio will join us on Tuesday, by the way.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah, because he wants to weigh in on the Bills, so absolutely. Fantastic. Door's always open for him.
Who's hot and who's cold in fantasy football? It's brought to you by Airquip Heating and Air Conditioning. It's fun and challenging to know when to start a player that's heating up or bench one that's cooling off. It's not fun to be too hot or too cold. In your home or business, make the best lineup call you can and call AirQuip today. It's funny, Dan mentioned it. Jenna said that we as a society have the attention span of a gnat, the memory of a gnat. And it's with that in mind that next in the sports bar, we dish out the 2024 Francesas. This is my testament to some of the biggest moments the past 12 months that a lot of us have completely wiped from our mental database. Things that were big at the time, that ended up just kind of being a giant, as we say in the sports bar, a giant Francesa.
Oh, who cares?
We'll get to that list. Gino, I know you've got some takes coming up as well.
Yeah, we got time for the calls, too, at 866-4FAN.
You're listening to the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. On 95.7 FM and AM 950, The Fan Rochester.